Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. I'm a landscape designer, garden author, horticulturist. I love helping people with their gardening questions, what to do in their landscape. So many new people here coming to Florida. A good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
I am doing well. I think I'm on my third gallon of eggnog this week. So,
well, that is great. What are you drinking this morning?
Only two shots of espresso because our listeners between the Good Morning Orlando and this show have expressed their concern about that. So I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'll listen. I got you. I appreciate your concern.
They expressed their concern. How's that?
I like that. How are you, Teresa?
I am great. It was cool this morning, but I'm telling you, we're kind of in a hot flashes, cold flashes time of year. We're supposed to be setting record highs this week across the country versus last week's setting cold records, you know, in 100 different cities. So it's interesting. I want to give a big shout out to the Villages Florida Native Plant Society. They had me to talk about landscape design yesterday. Had a great time. They were wonderful. So many new people moving. They got a lot of new members at the Florida Native Plant Society. From Ohio and Kansas and Oregon and just all different places. So it was interesting meeting them. And they're just trying to learn so much about, you know, landscaping in Florida.
Yes, definitely. I love that.
It is. It's wonderful. Did you get a chance to see the Aurora Borealis? No.
No. No, I didn't. I think I was sleeping. I think I got to see the back of my eyelids.
It is. It was in the middle of the night. So, but it was visible in Florida, which is very rare, but it was from powerful solar storms. So that was kind of unique. I love talking about the weather in response to what's going on because it affects those solar storms and the temperatures, the cold fronts, and the record highs all affect what happens in our gardening, in our landscapes. And so it's important to be aware of it. I think if more people were aware of what's going on in the weather, they would, you know, be able to handle their landscaping a little bit easier.
Very true. Very
you know?
True.
So, they saw the Northern Lights in Tallahassee, Merritt Island, Titusville, even New Smyrna Beach, which I think is very exciting. And I was seeing it in Ocala when I was over there. Just it was remarkable. And so I talked last week when we had this cold front going through that we could possibly get a tropical storm named Nestor developing in the Caribbean. Yeah, no, not going to happen.
Good.
We are kind of set for the hurricane season. We had 13 named storms and 4 major hurricanes, but nothing touched Florida. And this is the first time in 10 years. So those of you who are new to Florida, don't get used to that.
Right.
We had a really great year, so embrace it, and thankfully we did not have any storms. But that just means that we're really even more dependent on our water supply, because those tropical storms are very beneficial for replenishing our aquifer, and that's very important. So we do need them. So
and you kind of forgot the most important thing, especially if you're new here to Florida. You now have permission to eat your hurricane snacks. or donate them to a charity or shelter. That would be usually what we do.
A shelter would be really good. So we are the Sunshine State for the next 10 days. North Florida, you're going to have highs in the 70s, between 70s and 80s, daytime, nights in the 50s and 60s. No rain until next Saturday possibly, but not a good chance then. So, you know, that's going to be great weather for gardening. Orlando, same. We're not going to get any rain at all. St. Augustine, the weather in St. Augustine is going to be amazing. And they start tomorrow, their Night of Lights, or today, the 15th. November 15th is St. Augustine's Night of Lights. It is a wonderful, wonderful tradition where they are going to have over 3 million lights downtown St. Augustine. And it's just going to be a wonderful experience for you to go to. And that's going to go through January 11th. So it's a good location for Christmas,
yes.
New Year's. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mostly sunny for the next 10 days, 50s and 60s at nights. I think that's perfect weather.
Oh, 100%.
Just wonderful weather. No rain. Tampa, you're mostly sunny, beautiful all week. Port St. Lucie. It's going to be a little chilly this weekend, but beautiful Chamber of Commerce weather. Lows in the low 80s, daytime 60s at night, and that's wonderful. No rain. Florida, no rain this week. Okay. Venice is going to be lows in the 80s, pleasant at night 60s, good sleeping weather. Miami's going to be beautiful all week. I mean, they're just going to be tremendous. Great gardening weather. If you get out there, you can plant your cool season vegetables or even continue on with your warm season vegetables. And Key West, they're only going to have a 5-degree temperature change from daytime to nighttime.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to be great. So it's going to be perfect weather for planting seeds, for planting turf if you're going to wanting to change out your turf, or planting shrubs and trees. I'll talk a little bit about what else to plant today. We're going to be talking about birds today. And I love birds. We're going to be talking about how to attract them, what kind of trees are the best. We're going to be talking about cedar waxwings. Do you know what a cedar waxwing is?
I think I do, but offhand, no.
They're very elegant. They're very Victorian-looking Christmas card. Cedar waxwings are great for Christmas cards. and so we'll be talking about how to attract those. And taking your gardening questions this morning, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you know someone who loves to garden or has a question, please let them know about Better Lawns and Gardens. Tell them to call in with their gardening questions so I can help them too. 1-888-455-2967. That's 888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680 and let me know what your morning beverage is and how you're feeling this morning. What's going on in your garden? I would love to hear that. And so when I was up in Ocala yesterday, I did see a flock of cedar waxwings coming through. And they are just so beautiful. They're so elegant.
They are. I looked them up over the break.
Yes.
Beautiful.
That their feathers are that light tan color that's very elegant. And they have browns and grays and lemon yellow on their wings, and so it's just they're really beautiful, and they have a striking red wax-like tips on the end of their wings, and they start coming through October through May, and you know they're frugivores, which means they are fruit berry eaters and fruit eaters, and that was a word of the day a couple of years ago, frugivores. And they just have a wide range. They're migratory. They come from up north, and they stay mostly in Florida and the southeast, Alabama, over there with Dr. Gary Bachman. Thank you, yep. Bachman. Yep. Mine's not working. I need another sip of tea. and then also, you know, in Georgia, South Carolina. But then they also go down to the Caribbean and South America a little bit there. So you're going to see them, and they do love to eat berries. They can, if the berries are too ripe and becoming kind of a alcoholic, they will get drunk, and their mating practices are so sweet. So when they are ready to mate, the male will come over to the female, hop over, and he will give a little berry, a little gift of fruit to the female cedar waxwing, and she accepts it, and then she moves over, and then she hops back again, and then she gives the berry back to the male waxwing, cedar waxwing, and they do that a couple of times until she finally eats it, and then they're engaged.
That's so sweet. I know. They actually have like a whole page dedicated to drunken cedar waxwings.
They do. You have to go see them. They literally just sit there and go,
I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so sad.
So here's the point about planting trees for to attract birds, especially if they have berries. you don't necessarily want them around your patio. You want to place them out in your yard, and that way when the berries drop, they're not going to stain your patio. Okay, so when you're selecting a tree for your patio area, your porch, you want to make sure that it's not a berry type of deciduous tree that will, make a mess on your patio, or that you're stepping on it close to the patio and you bring it in on your porch or stepping stones. So place them out in the yard where they can have room to grow. And then also you can view it easier rather than right up close to it. And so what do they eat? Well, they will literally eat the berries off of cabbage palms, the sable palmetto. They love mulberries and dogwood, which is kind of in a troubled state right now. We're not seeing a lot of good success with dogwoods right now. But then they also love mistletoe. And so they spread the mistletoe. You're wondering how you get mistletoe in your tree? One of them is the cedar waxwings. Honeysuckle. And then the Chickasaw plum and the Flatwoods plum. Anything that has fruit on it, native, and even the wild coffee will be able to supply berries for your to attract the birds. So that is lovely. Often, too, they like the conifer trees where they can put in nests and they can get protected from the weather. And so junipers and cedars are wonderful. And they also like honeysuckle. And so if you have honeysuckle trees or hawthorn, I love the parsley hawthorn, which is native. It's got a beautiful orangey red flower on it, but thorns. And so usually when you have some types of berry trees, and especially with birds, they like trees with thorns because it kind of gives them a little bit of protection from predators. And so what do cedar waxwings, Lizzie, eat during the summertime when there are no berries?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. So in the summertime, they supplement their diet with protein. So they will eat mayflies and dragonflies and stoneflies, and so any kind of insects. But they will also, which is really crazy, they will eat scale insects.
Oh.
So the scale that's on our plants, they will go ahead and poke that kind of outside exterior, and they can get to the insects. For scale, they like spruce budworm and then leaf beetles. So up north, they're really a good bird to attract to help keep. They're beneficial in keeping bad insects down. So that's great. And so it's important that when we do want to attract wildlife to our yard, that we don't spray a lot of, pesticides, because these insects, there has to be a balance where you have to have some of the bad insects to attract the predators, mm-hmm. that's going to get rid of them. If you want the beneficial insects to come in, the predatory insects that eat the bad insects, you have to have something for them to come and eat. And if you're spraying chemicals all the time, then you're not only, or pesticides, I should say that chemicals are not the problem, it's the pesticides. When you're spraying them often, then you're reducing the population or even, killing them all together, and then you're not going to see the beneficial insects come in the yard. There has to be a balance. And when we overspray pesticides, which sometimes comes every month, they come in and spray every month.
Right.
Inside and outside. I don't mind inside. You can spray the pesticides inside. But outside, you should only spray a pesticide when you have an insect problem.
True.
And that's when it's out of control. You have one or two bugs, no big whoop. You don't have to panic about that. But you have an old a very large infestation in your yard. That means a couple of things. One, you're not walking your yards on a regular basis, so you didn't catch it when it was a small problem. And two, you have to use even more of the pesticide. Okay, it's more of a hard effort, and it may not, your plants may not even survive if it goes too long. So walking your yard on a regular basis, I've said this always, is a wonderful thing. Turn the leaves over and look at them. Look at the color changing. And sometimes the color changing we're seeing now are disease issues, fungal issues. And it happens because we get rain at night. You may not have your irrigation on at night, and hopefully you're not. The best times to water are between 5 and 10 a.m. But sometimes we get rain at night. And that leads to, with our humidity, we have the perfect trifecta for disease. And so you do have to spray a fungicide beforehand. If you're getting a lot of fungal issues, then you need to spray a fungicide before you have the disease problems, not after. So let's go to Phil in Apopka. Good morning, Phil. How can I help you?
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Phil?
Great. Enjoy the program each week. Got a question. I got a lot of fruit trees and avocado trees. Mm-hmm. I wondered if it would be better to mulch these trees. Can you put mulch around them? Would that hurt the root at all?
No. Mulching fruit trees is perfectly acceptable. Now, when you put the mulch down, you don't want to have it around the trunk. You want to see the flare create a tree ring of that mulch around, so you don't keep the base of the trees wet. Okay, but you can put mulch down. And that's going to keep the moisture in the ground. And
come
that's,
back about four to 6 inches, maybe.
Yes, that would be great.
And change it, but what, about twice a year, maybe the mulch.
No, I wouldn't change it at all. Let it decompose. That's not a problem.
Uh huh. Okay.
You don't have to change it out at all.
But it wouldn't be good to put it around orange trees, though, would it?
You know, there's a lot of talk about it and science research studies on it. And here in Florida, they don't mulch citrus trees a lot because the citrus trees really like to be dry. They don't want to be too wet. But there's really no study that says you can't put mulch under citrus trees or that it harms them. Only if it's touching the base and creating a thick problem. So you only want to use about 3 inches, keep it away from the trunk, and then create a tree ring around it with the mulch, and that'll be just fine.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Phil. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
Good morning. If you have a hard break coming up, I'll hold.
Okay, no, we're good. We're good.
Okay. I have a question. I want to make 2 staghorn plants for myself and a friend of mine.
Okay.
That she wants. And I'm going to give it to her for Christmas.
Aw.
So how do I cut the big staghorn apart?
Okay, you want to take a little portion of it off?
Yes.
Okay, so you know how they have those kind of bracts where it's kind of layered and the soft brown ones that seem to attach to other parts of the staghorn? If you take a knife and cut behind that and just very gently take it off, you can then take that pup or that staghorn portion and then adhere it to a piece of wood or driftwood or whatever you're going to, a hanging basket, whatever you'd like to put it in.
I do a hanging basket.
Yes. And so make sure you have like sphagnum moss on the inside. And then you can just attach it to the top of it. You don't need to put soil in it because it's an air plant. It's an epiphyte. But you could attach it to the top of that staghorn fruit. Now, eventually it's going to cover that. So you want to make plans on how you're going to hang it, you know, once it gets big. So, yeah, very easy to do. And you can wrap it with a wire if you're going to hang it, so you don't need to attach it with any kind of glue or adhesive to the basket. You can just take a little bit of wire, very thin wire, and wrap it around the wires of the hanging basket and make sure it just stays tight.
Okay. That should be easy enough for me to do.
Sure. I think you'll be great at it. Love to see pictures of it, Eileen. Thank you so much. She's great. I love how she works out in her yard, and she has a great yard. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Today, News Radio 94.1 FM.
Well, back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is all about you and your gardening questions, or even your questions about nature. And we're talking about birds, attracting birds today. You can just call us 1-888-455-2967. If you have a great bird sighting or what you want to say about birds, or you can text us 23680, like this person in Deltona Beach. She says, good morning. I'm enjoying your show. Good morning. This is not exactly a garden question. That's okay. I wanted to know what I could plant to attract bluebirds, and are there bluebirds in Florida? I've been told that there are, but I've just never seen one. I live in Deltona. Thank you so much. So bluebirds are gorgeous, and yes, we do have them here in Florida, but their habitat, their environment is one of, they love open pastures, and they love open fields and meadows to where they can fly in across the pasture into their house. They need the birdhouses. You have to get a specific bluebird house, and you want to put it on a post that is near. You can put it on a fence, a post, but it needs to be up about 5 feet off the ground, and it needs to be a deck platform. Okay, and so bluebirds, they're gorgeous. And so what they like to eat are berries, and then also mealworms. They like to eat live worms. And then they also like to live in cavities of trees. So if you can picture, especially in Deltona, the cow pastures or the horse pastures with all the oak trees all the way around the acres of open meadow, that's a perfect bluebird area environment. And they need the openness of it. They like to do that. And so if you want to plant trees or if you're situated near trees that have open cavities, the bluebirds like that too as well. And they will fly across. So planting more berry trees and getting that openness for them. So we love them. I see them in Leesburg all the time. And
yes,
in the Wildwood, you see them coming across. And you'll see this one birdhouse on a fence post, and you'll see all these railings, acres of railings, but you'll see one birdhouse, and it'll be for the bluebirds.
Yeah, and it's crazy because we have a lot of birds that migrate and come to our property that we have because of all the cedar trees and oaks and stuff. And but I can't say I've never seen a bluebird on our property. Now, blue jays, we have a gazillion around about this time of year. We have blue jays that are, we see them often.
Yeah, they're bullies.
They're very boisterous too.
They are. So,
but yes,
well, so saying that about the open meadows, so I will tell you that in Leesburg I had a client, and she lived right across from a cow pasture, a beautiful cow pasture with the beautiful live oaks on it. It was just, I love this open pasture lands that we have here in Florida. And so, but her house had a whole bunch of trees and oak trees and palm trees, so her yard was shaded. And she had her bluebird house in the middle of her garden underneath the shade tree, and the bluebirds used it.
Oh.
So, but she was just directly a hop and a skip off of an open meadow area.
Oh, yeah.
So they saw the bluebird house. They said, hey, you know, we'll go live in the shade a little bit. and she had nestlings in the tree. They laid eggs in the birdhouse, and you know, it takes about 2 weeks for them to mature so they can leave the house. And so I was just really amazed at that her bluebird house was in underneath the shade tree, and she was still able to attract them. So try it. See, hopefully you have some space out there in Deltona. And if not, put up a bluebird house in the sunniest area close to the trees. And then you want a deck or a platform birdhouse, specifically a bluebird house. You can find those online and or locally in the Audubon stores and all the nature stores, and possibly in the box stores and things. So bluebird house, that's important. Great question. And so Tina in Orlando said cedar waxwing. She said she's good to know their name. She's always called them red-winged blackbirds. And so the difference between a cedar waxwing and a red-winged blackbird is the blackbird is a totally blackbird with the red chevron across their wings, whereas the cedar waxwing has the crest on the top of the head. Very pretty, very elegant. I want to say it's a champagne kind of brown color.
Oh, it is. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good description.
Very Victorian. And a champagne color, brown and grays, and then the yellow on the chest. It's just a gorgeous bird.
Yes, yes. And then if you come across a bunch of them and they're drunk and it looks like a little college frat party. The next morning after.
How embarrassing. I think we'll post one. Yes. I'll post one today on our Facebook page. If you have not gone to our Facebook page, we would love to have you, come on and like our Facebook page, Better Lawns and Gardens. And every week there, we post the podcast so that if you miss any of the show, you can go on to betterlawnsandgardens.com or betterlawns.com and you can download the show, or you can go to our Facebook page and download it to there as well. So if you are listening to iHeartRadio anywhere, you can also get the podcast anytime you want to listen to it. So if you miss something, don't panic. You can go back on online and go to a podcast. Just put in Better Lawns and Gardens, iHeartRadio, or Better Lawns and Gardens, Teresa Watkins, and all the links will come up. So you can like that. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680.
There you go, you got it.
I got it. There you go. That's wonderful. And so I'd like to give a shout out to Mike and then also Colette. She texted us, and that's wonderful, Colette. And then Marie also texted us, and we do love that. So, and I want to say good morning to Tom.
Yes.
And I just want to kind of let everybody know we've got holiday programs coming up. So Thanksgiving weekend will be a special Better Lawns and Gardens. And then for Christmas, we have it will be a special Better Lawns and Gardens.
Yes.
And then we have our New Year's show, and Tom McCubbin will be with me on the New Year's show. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. And so you want to stay tuned for that. You can always catch us on Facebook, and we'd love to hear from you. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
What's the best way to get rid of a timeshare that you don't want? Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline. We're a group of attorneys that help customers legally exit their timeshares. It's an easy process. We guarantee results or you pay nothing. Exit your timeshare today. Call now.
800-952-8424. 800-952-8424. Again, that's 800-952-8424. 8424.
Need to sell your house fast? Whether you're facing foreclosure, stuck with bad tenants, or just ready for a fresh start, House Buyer Network can help. We buy homes as is for cash. No fees, no commissions, no repairs. Get a fair cash offer in just 24 hours and close in as little as 7 days. Call 833-464-0827 now for your free no-obligation offer. That's 833-464-0827. House Buyer Network. Fast cash, no hassle.
I'm a father.
I'm an aunt. I'm a neighbor.
I'm a veteran.
But out here, on the water,
I'm operating the boat.
A boat operator.
I'm a safe operator.
The operator.
If you're behind the wheel of a boat, you only have one job: keep everyone safe. Always scan the water and be aware of your surroundings. Learn more about boating safety at myfwc.com. Brought to you by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
Every time you step on the gas, you're making a choice. Speeding might save seconds, but it can cost lives. In 2024, speeding was the third leading cause of fatal crashes in Florida. Speed limits are there to protect you and others. They never exceed 70 miles per hour on Florida highways. Know the limit, obey it, and slow down when it changes. Slow down. Speed kills. Let's all arrive alive. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Stop your grinding with Brett Snyder.
Are you waking up in the morning with a sore jaw, headaches, ringing in your ears, all because you're grinding and clenching your teeth at night? That's exactly what was going on with me. I ended up going to a dentist and he wants to charge over $600 for a night guard. That's when I found the Brooks Night Guard. You mold it at home to the top or bottom teeth. Other mouth guards go all the way to the back, which allows the back teeth to touch. This is where most of the grinding and clenching occurs. The Brooks Night Guard redirects the bite force away from the back teeth, reducing jaw pain while still protecting the teeth. This unique design is what makes Brooks Night Guard different from all other traditional grind guards. Order your Brooks Night Guard today and get 10% off plus free shipping. Go to BrooksNightGuard.com and enter the code Brooks95. That's BRUX95.
Stop your grinding with Brooks Night Guard.
After a...
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
My top five this week are the top five native trees that attract cedar waxwings. And the fifth one, number five, is serviceberry, Melancholia arborea. It is hardy zones 4 through 9. And the serviceberry autumn brilliance has a wonderful fall color, 15 to 25 feet. It has small edible fruit that tastes like blueberries on it for the cedar waxwings. They love it. Number four is mulberry, zones 4 to 11, native deciduous tree found in most soils. So if you have really wet soils, mulberries would be a good choice. It is found from Florida all the way over to Texas, Minnesota, and even up through Ontario, Canada, and east to the Mid-Atlantic states. 15 to 70 foot tall, great tree for cedar waxwings. Number three, hawthorn, zone 7 to 10. My favorite is the parsley hawthorn, and the bright red berries are irresistible to cedar waxwings. Number two, the eastern red cedar, which is what the cedar waxwing's name is derived from, zones 2A to 10. It loves cedar berries in the wintertime, which time the conifer becomes a cornucopia of life-sustaining nourishment and nesting sanctuary. And number one, my favorite top cedar waxwing is elderberry. Native elderberry, zones 4A to 10B, height 5 to 10 foot tall. It will tolerate acidic or alkaline soils, moist, wet, fertile soils. In South Florida, the elderberry will stay green all year round. Up north, it's going to lose its leaves deciduous as the temperatures drop. Cedar waxwings love it. And elderberry wine, cedar waxwings get drunk on that too. So that's my top five. So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We've got some texts from Jeannie in Port St. Lucie, and then also Lisa in Ponce Inlet. We'll get to you just in a minute. Let's go to Curtis in Melbourne Beach. Good morning, Curtis. How can I help you?
Good morning. Yeah, I will just add there, elderberry is very, very medicinal, apparently. I was calling about the shampoo ginger is the common name for it.
Mm-hmm.
Not ginger shampoo, which there's lots of shampoos where they mix ginger in, but it's a plant that that shoots up a red pine cone.
Yes. It's called pinecone ginger too.
And the I don't know what you want to call it. I describe it as like an aloe plant. It has a nectar inside of the cone,
mm-hmm.
that's been used for shampoo type.
You can use it to shampoo your hair. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been used for that for centuries apparently, and I became aware of it from one of my parents. I'm a homeschool consultant and advisor, and she had gone through chemo and had discovered this, and her hair came back. Like, people were asking what in the world she did.
Uh-huh.
To have her hair so thick and colorful and just whatever, more healthy than ever before. And it was that is what she used and uses only till this day. And then I did a little research on it. And
yeah, so Curtis, just,
wondering about your experience with it. And it's a subtropical plant, but I know it grows. I mean, one of her neighbors were throwing them out of the yard, and she got them and planted them in her yard.
Yeah, they grow very well here. They are subtropical, which means that they can handle a little bit of cold, and if they do get frozen, they come back from the ground. They multiply very aggressively. So if you only want one, you need to put it in a container. If not, they will take over your little garden area. So
yes,
they are wonderful.
Listen.
But those little red pine cones, you can just take them and squeeze them, and you can actually, you know, wash your hands with it. I don't know how sterile your shampoo, the soap is.
Right.
But you can clean your hands with it. So very good question, Curtis, or statement. It's a wonderful plant, subtropical. And it does well on the beach area there, too, as well.
Now, is it just like any other plant, it matures and has this cone come up in the fall and then kind of goes dormant, or how does
No, that, it doesn't go dormant. It only will go, I mean, the freezes, the wintertime will knock it back. So it's not a plant that goes dormant. But in the springtime, the pine cones come up. So that's its flower. Those are the bracts, the pine cone bracts that come out. And come up, and so you have to collect a little bit of them to wash your hair. So you'd probably need a whole yard of it, a whole acre of it, to have a good supply of shampoo.
Right. So the cones do come up and mature in the springtime and
yep.
through the fall.
Every year, yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, and I really enjoy your show.
Thank you, Curtis, very much for calling in. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let's go to, Lisa in Ponce Inlet. When is the best time to plant a lemon tree in my area, and what variety do you recommend? Thank you. She's Zone 10A. And Lisa, I love the Myers lemon. Okay. Myers lemon has a beautiful purplish and white flower that's very fragrant, and it is just a wonderful lemon tree. It's a wonderful lemon. You can also plant a ponderosa, which is a very big lemon if you want to have a juice lemon, and you can plant them any time of the year. But right now, the lemons, you can go find a lemon tree, or you can purchase a lemon tree with the lemons on it, so you can kind of see what it is. So planting a lemon tree right now is perfectly fine, especially where you are in Zone 10A. Okay, we're going to have a warm winter with the La Nina, so it'll be a good year to plant citrus trees. Great question. Thank you so much. And it was perfect, Lisa. You gave your name and your location and your question. So it was a perfect text message. Thank you so much. Let's go to another perfect text message, Jean in Port St. Lucie. She says, we used to have lots of red-winged blackbirds, but after a certain hurricane, they never return. I'm so sorry, Jean. They will eventually. Sometimes they get off of their, you know, they find someplace else to visit, or if the trees aren't there from where they go. Because when birds are migrating, you have to just picture, they're flying overhead, and so they're seeing the trees and the ground and the shrubs from the air. And if you lose trees during a hurricane, they're going to say they're not there, and we're not going to stop by and visit you. So having a nice tree canopy, one, offers protection and sanctuary for migrating birds, but they can see them from the air, and they know where they have food. And so it's a wonderful thing. So having lots of trees in your yard is very good. Very good for the birds, for the migratory birds. And you can do that. If you are wanting to plant this month, let's see, I've got it right here. Let's read you the list. Herbs, it's a great time to plant herbs. Herbs are, they like the warm temperatures, but they can't take the really exhausting heat of the summertime. And so right now you can be planting anise and arugula, basil and borage, chives and cardamom, chervil and cilantro, coriander and dill, fennel and garlic, ginger and lavender, and lemon balm, lovage, Mexican tarragon, and I love Mexican tarragon.
Yes.
And we take it, we put it on our pork, and it's just delicious. Nasturtium, mint, oregano, and parsley, which is not related to the parsley hawthorn. rosemary and sage, sweet marjoram, thyme, and watercress.
I love me some rosemary.
Yes. Oh, just wonderful. So if you are planting a native landscape and you want to use a type of rosemary or something that looks like rosemary, it's in the mint family, is the false rosemary, Conradina. And you can find that at native nurseries and even in some of the independent garden centers and mom-and-pop gardens. They carry that for native plants. So it's a really good one. We are coming back for more of your phone calls in the next hour. We love hearing from you. It's going to be a beautiful day this weekend. And for the next week to 10 days, just gorgeous Chamber of Commerce weather.
Yes, definitely. And also, I want to recommend to our listeners, anytime that we speak on anything like the shampoo ginger and what it could be used for, please do your own research and have a conversation with your healthcare person on how to use it.
Exactly. You know, that's a very good point. You want to do a test sample, you know, so test sample so that you can just make sure you're not allergic to it or anything.
Yes, definitely.
And it's not one that causes a lot of allergies, but you never know.
Oh, I'm allergic to air at times. So, like, I will actually go blind and lose my eyesight if there's a fragrance in the air and somebody else can't smell it. And I'm just like, yeah, we're contaminated right now. And they're like, what?
That is so true. And so we are definitely, we want to thank our sponsors, Summit Responsible Solutions, our wonderful mosquitoes. They have all the tricks and the bait to get rid of mosquitoes. You want to check them out. Quality Green Specialists in DeLand, Peterson's Nurseries in Lakeland, and Black Cow, one of the best things that you can do for your garden beds. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Networks.